Chris Anderson, the curator of TED Talk, says quite simply that the only responsibility we have as speakers is to take something that matters and recreate the picture of that thing inside the mind of the listener. And you cannot do it without emotion mapping and using sensory language. On the topic of sensory language, we touched on the charisma pattern, and that will give you a huge competitive advantage when it comes to how you say things. Welcome to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast for the entrepreneurs, the subject matter experts, and the difference makers who want to unlock the power of speaking driven strategies to accelerate impact, influence, and revenue. I'm your host, Jacqueline Nagel, and this is the place for straight talking, easy to implement 20-minute or less business, speaking, and communications insights and lessons, which will help you break through from unheard of to in demand. Let's go. Welcome to episode 29 of the Speaker Driven Business Podcast. And can I just take a moment to let you know that episode 30 coming up in the next couple of days is going to be a cracker of a conversation. We're actually bringing an expert guest. You're going to love it. But before we get there, episode 29 is all about emotion mapping. And whilst episode 30 is going to be a cracker of a conversation, this is going to be one of the best and biggest game-changing strategies that I can give you that is easy to implement. In actual point of fact, just being aware of it will make a difference to your speaking game. Now, emotion mapping is something we've actually already referenced without actually calling it out as emotion mapping. And this was in episode 17 when we unpacked the Blue Apple strategy for you. Now, as part of that Blue Apple strategy unpack, we spoke about how everybody wants a mic drop. Everybody wants their mic drop moment at the end of their speech. And for those who really want to make an impact, they know that that makes a difference. Now, when we actually talked about the mic drop moment within that particular episode about the Blue Apple strategy, we broke it down this way. A mic drop is not created just by the words. A mic drop is created by delivering words which evoke an emotional, visceral reaction in your audience. And so how we actually go and consider and think about how we're going to create that mic drop when we're building a speech from the ground up is we start with the end in mind. And what I mean by that is our mic drop question is, what is the emotional state you want to leave your audience in when you finished speaking? Now, we do this, we bring a real laser focus into this by saying that we must actually identify that as a nominalization. A nominalization is one or two words describing an emotional state. And so that brings a real laser focus into the emotion that we want to elicit in our audiences as we finish. Now, two episodes ago in our conversation with Sophie Scott, when we were talking about her TEDx talk experience, she also outlined and walked us through the difference it made for her and her awareness when her son, who is a NIDA Australia graduate, when he actually walked her through the importance of emotion mapping. Now, as a graduate of NIDA Australia, he knows what all movies and plays and books have in common because it's part of his craft. What they all have in common is they have an emotional map to create resonance for the audience, because emotion creates connection and strong emotions create change in thinking, in perspective, even in actual change. And this is why it matters. The emotional map actually breaks down how you want the listener, your audience, to feel at each point of your speech or your story or your presentation. And a quick example of the sorts of things that you might want to consider is, number one, here, my audience should be thinking about X. And here, when I introduce Y, they will feel surprised. Another one might be, here, the audience really needs to believe this. And number three is an example of, here, the audience needs to feel the pain, the joy, the horror, the wonder. Now, you can already tell just from that very generalized indication of the sorts of things that we might be considering that actually all of those have distinctly different tones and cadences and even will impact your choice around content. So it's really, really important to map the emotional journey of your speech, the emotional arc, if you like. It is also important to think about how fast or slow the audience is needing to change the emotions that they are experiencing. Too fast, and they may actually feel the equivalent of being and riding a roller coaster. And even if they enjoy the experience and they're screaming the whole way through, the whole thing could actually be a blur, which will mean you may actually have to slow it down a little or create a bridge between the stages of your story or your speech, which your audience can easily walk across from an emotional perspective. Too slow, and you actually could lose them. lose their attention. And this may not be about putting more in or anything extra in, but rather increasing the tempo and bringing more variation gradients into the emotions being experienced. Also remember, as a speaker, you must not leave people too deep in trauma and drama or too long at a relentless pace. You need to move them through and in and out of all of the emotional gradients you are looking to use. Don't keep them at one level. The emotional map also does not change the plot of a book or a movie or a theater show, and nor should it change your content or topic when you're speaking. The emotional map lays under the plot. It almost tucks up underneath it to deepen what you say and how you say it in a way that gives the audience more space to sink into it all with you. Chris Anderson, the curator of TED Talk, says quite simply that the only responsibility we have as speakers is to take something that matters and recreate the picture of that thing inside the mind of the listener. And you cannot do it without emotion mapping and using sensory language. Actually, on the topic of sensory language, we touched on all of this and how to use it in episode 26, which was all about the charisma pattern. And that will give you a huge competitive advantage when it comes to how you say things. But this is great. This is all well and good. The blockbuster script writers, the literal godfather of TED Talks globally, and bona fide best-selling authors all know and do the emotional maps. But how do we integrate emotion mapping into our stories and our speeches? Well, firstly, you can get a better grip on the words which describe emotions and what they mean. Most of us actually rely on 6 to 8 keywords, and some of the population are only using 3 to 4 to describe all of our emotions, which is a little crazy when you think about the range that there is, right? So even though I have always loved words and language and emotional intelligence, one of the first things I would do is to dig deep into Brené Brown's work in her book, Atlas of the Heart. And listen, if books are not your thing, then binge and repeat the series by the same name produced on HBO. You can also start with these 4 questions. Question 1, what emotions do you want to evoke at each stage of the story or the speech? Question 2, will those emotions resonate with the audience? And what emotions do you actually need to add in for them, for the audience? Question 3, are you using sensory language and details? Are you actually using your words to create a visceral reaction? For example, instead of saying she was afraid, say her heart was pounding and she could feel herself break out into a sweat. See the difference? And then question 4, and this is important, do you have both conflict and resolution? The tension created by conflict, and it doesn't have to be dramatic or traumatic to be conflict, it can just be opposing opinions, engages the audience. Resolution gives the audience a sense of closure and satisfaction. By bringing both of those in together, what we're actually doing is we're creating closed loops in the minds of the audience, and they're going to stay right with this, and they're more likely to remember it all. In our most recent emotion mapping session, just with these 4 questions, we were witness to the extraordinary power emotion mapping has to really elevate the quality of our stories and our speeches. One of our lived experience speakers realized she had actually set up the conflict in her opening story, with her mother actually as one of the key characters, but she hadn't actually given her mother, as a character in the story, any form of resolution. It's been leaving an open loop with her audience. And actual point of fact, her audience had been telling her this, but it wasn't until we went through this process it became crystal clear for her. One of our speakers on the intersection of bias and shame realized that she wasn't digging deep enough into the sensory elements in her own moment of truth. She wasn't using language to recreate the emotions and the scenario in the minds of her audience. In actual point of fact, she realized that she was actually very close to simply narrating it and therefore not creating the resonance with the audience that she's actually capable of. This was a missed opportunity for deep connection. An engineer really passionate about saving our environment realized she can create a visceral response through deepening the sensory memories of the world as we knew it when we were children. And she can actually create greater conflict and tension and therefore urgency by doing the same, by creating sensory sensations or using sensory language to paint a picture of the future that we are hurtling towards. A beautiful happiness speaker who speaks on creating happiness in just 1 minute, yes, I kid you not, realized in the guided part, so from stage, she guides people through their 1 minute to find happiness. But she realized that during that, she's actually instructing a lot more than she thought she was. And she saw instantly just how she can change that to immerse people in experiences from stage by focusing on the emotions that she wants people to feel as she gets them to happiness. A woman another one of our speakers who flips the script on grief and how we should do it, realized that in bringing in someone else's story to her keynote, she hadn't actually thought about the emotions in it. And she hadn't actually allowed it to take up any space in her speech. In fact, it was almost being overwhelmed and overlooked in the power of the rest of her stories. Even though the reason she's brought that story in is because it was a pivotal moment, a realization, one of those aha moments that completely shifted her lens. Even though it was a pivotal moment, she had not given enough space. And she knew that she could do that by actually bringing the sensory language through and putting more sensory detail in. I could literally speak for the next 10 episodes on the difference this makes in our speeches. I have literally hundreds of examples just like the ones I've run you through, but I won't. What I would implore you to do, though, is to go beyond the mic drop, the emotional state you want to leave people in, and emotionally map your entire speech or presentation. Your audiences will love you for it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Speaker Driven Business. And if you have, I'd love you to do two things for me. Number one, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And number two, leave a review so other people can find and enjoy the content we share. Online, you can find us on Instagram and connect with me personally on LinkedIn. Just head to anygiventuesday.com.au and you will find all the connection points there. Speaker Driven Business is the show making speaking-driven strategies accessible to everyone, and I am honored you tuned in.